It's Pentecost, and I want to talk to you about Pentecost. And hopefully, yes, we've got the slides. This is really good. Now, I have to say to you this morning, I'm going to preach a little bit shorter. This is nothing to do with the fact that I have to be somewhere immediately after this service. This is so we can spend more time together in the presence of God at the end of the service. So I've got 3 points, and each one of them has got a video clip. Now, you might just have to watch the audio volume. I think the first one might come through very loudly. These clips have all got a point to them. So I want you to join with me today in celebrating Pentecost. And the first thing I want us to do is celebrate Pentecost together. Now, if you are of a certain age, you will remember watching that as a child. I also remember watching it again with my children. That's an excerpt from the beginning of Stingray, of Gerry Anderson, super marionation exercise in puppetry. I have to say, if you can equal that, Sandra and Nigel, that'll be fine. But it always starts with anything could happen in the next half hour. And I remember playing the first version ever of Trivial Pursuit. And the question came up, what program began with the phrase, anything can happen in the next half hour? And I said Stingray, and I was marked wrong because the question on the back said Thunderbirds. It's wrong. But there you go. But, yeah, I know. Yeah, I sued them. anything can happen in the next half hour. An old pastor I used to know used to say, how can you miss church when you've no idea what you're going to miss? And you know something? Thomas missed church once, but he never missed it again. He missed it the first night Jesus turned up. And I suppose this morning I just want to say to you, whenever we meet together, we have to remember that the presence of God is with us. I've really sensed the presence of God with us this morning. But what manifestation of his spirit might there be? What reality of God may we encounter? Who might receive a real touch? I want to encourage you this morning. Church is not a place where you come to be quiet and contemplative. Neither is it a place where you come to receive forgiveness or absolution for your failures, or even simply a place that you've come to listen and learn about God. It isn't even a place where you come to be deliberately noisy. It's a place where all of these things happen. But it's a place where anything can happen. It's the coming together of God's temple, God's people. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a corporate statement. It's said twice in 1 Corinthians, one of which is said in the singular and one of which is said in the plural. And I'm quoting the one in the plural today because we are the temple. You know, you, plural, you the crowd, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And where the Holy Spirit is, anything might happen. Hence the video clip. Why would you want to miss being where anything could happen? I remember once in a season of, I would like to say a season of strong renewal in the church, that I remember that when I had to miss a weekend, that I was on the phone as soon as I got back home saying, what happened? And you know, we ought to have that standard of expectancy about our services together. We really should. And I suppose what I'm wanting to do today is try and challenge you. to have that expectancy before you turn up here. You know, this morning in prayer I was saying, God, I just want to expect you to do stuff today. And it isn't necessarily about the same stuff that God always does. It's about God doing something unique today. It amused me yesterday at the royal wedding. Not that I was there, but you know what I mean. I was as close to it as most of you were. The preacher, this American bishop, he was really good. He gave a good word. And it amused me that the BBC representative afterwards was saying, well, I don't suppose there's a church in the whole of the country that has heard a message like that before. And I thought, oh, Lord help them. What do they think we preach? What message? This is the gospel. Of course, there are thousands of churches where a message like that is being preached today. But probably not Westminster, Windsor Chapel. Probably not. The reality is, in some of these big old buildings, with some of these big old vicars, there is a very big and old message that is not really conveyed very well. And yeah, I know that's true. But thank God, up and down this country, the gospel is being preached. And what we need to do is to expect that. We need to expect that the message will go out. You need to be able to expect that if you invite someone, they won't be disappointed. I can remember being disappointed as a younger man, maybe as I was newly married. I remember feeling, I can't bring people to this. And I found an avenue in which I could bring people somewhere, and that worked very well indeed. But, you know, these days, I'm never, ever embarrassed about church. Well, maybe that week when there was only nine of us. But, you know what I mean? I am not embarrassed about church. Our singing is good. Our worship time is good. We pray for people every week. We break bread together. The word is preached. Whether I'm preaching it or someone else is preaching it, it's preached with anointing. And thank God for that. So, let's make sure that in our hearts we want to be together. And if you don't want to be together, then talk to God about that. And listen to him. And if you need to talk to me about that, talk to me about that. But what I am saying to you is we are the best family that I know of. You know, my eldest daughter is down in this huge church in Wales, and she's discovered something, that family back home is much more like family. And she's not talking about me and her mother and her sisters. She's talking about you. She is missing this family. And, you know, thank God for that, because we are a community of believers. Community that share and love and take heart in everything. Okay, you ready for the second video clip? This is supernatural. That's an excerpt from Fletch Lives, which is an old movie now, but it absolutely caused me and Pauline to belly laugh ourselves onto the floor when we first saw it. Because that's Chevy Chase, who is taking the mick out of some of these big TV ministries in America. This is the same Chevy Chase who lately became a Christian and now only appears in Christian movies. That's interesting, isn't it? Whereas that's a little bit of a mickey take, and you've got to feel sorry for the guy who's pushed so hard that the headache's gone but his neck is killing him, we just need to remember that not everything has to happen the same way every week, but everything has to happen. When Paul talks to us about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he says, all these things should happen. Prophecy, tongues, interpretation, knowledge, wisdom, discerning of spirits, miracles, faith, healings. All of these things should happen. These are part of what we expect as the church. And if we don't expect them, what on earth are we playing at? As the church of Jesus Christ, we should expect all that he offers. You know, I sometimes comment on the heresy of cessationism, that section of the church, thank God, very small section these days, that doesn't believe in the work today of the Holy Spirit through the gifts. But you know, the reality is as I read the scriptures, I read and read, and I just see Jesus shouting through the centuries to us, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Church should be a place where the supernormal is the only thing that is normal. I'm going to say that again. Church should be a place where the supernormal is the only thing that is normal. Tongues of fire, different languages, prophecy, normal? Nah. Regular? No. All of these things should be normal. Authentic worship isn't quiet worship, it isn't noisy worship. It's a time when we, as the community of believers, honour God and allow him to have his way. If you want your way in worship, then may I suggest this may not be the right church for you. But if you want his way in worship, then expect the unexpected. You know, really, who knows? Anything could happen in the next half hour. And it may well be supernatural. And why do we struggle with supernatural as Christians? You know, I know there are stuff that happens that's supernatural in this world that is wrong. It's off beam. It's terrible. You know, we encourage people to stay away from mediums and Ouija boards and all types of methods of communicating with other spirits. Because God's spirit demands attention. These other spirits should not be connected with. But the reality is that which is supernatural should normally be from God. People travel all over the world to get healing. They visit people who will perform Reiki on them, who will sense their energies, and I'm sorry, I'm starting to yawn myself. But the reality is we should be offering healing. We should be offering an alternative, because divine healing actually works. It actually works. You know, who in this room can say at some time or other that they have experienced divine healing? That's a pretty good number. It's a pretty good number. The reality is that we know because it's happened to us. You know, I remember when I was 31 and I took my spectacles off, without which I couldn't find my way to the toilet. I was very short-sighted. I took them off, I put a hammer through the lenses in front of the whole church, and I said, let's see if God heals. And that night I drove home 23 miles to my home in my space wagon with my wife and children, and that was a reality of healing that I have lived in to this day. I thank God for that. You know, the reality is that God answers prayer, and we ought to expect it. It's authentic. It's real. It's not fake. We don't do fake news, and we don't do fake healings, and we don't push people down. I said, we don't push people down. We don't. We don't force anybody. You know, sometimes people do fall over. Many times they don't fall over. But we don't have a log that we write down. Today, three people fell over when we prayed for them. Big deal. Who's bothered? You know, what matters is, were people's lives changed? You know, I remember the first time I ever fell over when prayed for. it had been drummed into me that there was something dodgy about this. And I really was quite petrified because I knew the person who was preaching, everybody he touched fell over. And so I was conscious. I didn't want him to touch me. And the thing that had bothered me most was I'd heard somebody preach that if you fall over, you should fall on your face. Because in the Bible, they fell on their faces. I know it's hilarious, isn't it? But that's what they told me. But everybody I had seen fell over backwards. And it seemed normal, but I just didn't quite get it. So I'm just saying, Lord, I just want anything you have for me. And before the guy even came up to me, I fell over backwards and pirouetted and landed on my face. And I got up laughing because I thought, God, you're very funny. You knew I had a problem with falling on my face, falling on my back. And do you know what? I thank God that we aren't there anymore. I really thank God we've moved on and that we aren't quizzing God about whether this is right or that is right, but we're just doing the stuff. And I want to be part of the stuff, don't you? I want to be part of what God is doing. Okay, my third and final video clip. This screen is called Empowered. When I was at school, everyone was saying, we have the technology. Jonathan's nodding. We have the technology. Apparently, they're remaking this. So I'm looking forward to a new series of the $6 million man, except it can't possibly be $6 million anymore, can it? It'll have to be $6 billion, I think, just to allow for inflation. Jesus said these words, and they are the very word of God to us today. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, and to that little bit of York on the left-hand side of the map. You will be a witness because you will be empowered. The book of Acts is full of different empowerings. The disciples received multiple empowerings when they went to have other jobs. For example, you read of Paul, who clearly receives the Holy Spirit, and then he also receives the Holy Spirit again when he's sent off with Barnabas. And the truth is, the Holy Spirit empowers us for acts of service. And you know what? Whenever God calls you to something, to any job, he wants to empower you with his Spirit. Jesus needed empowering with the Holy Spirit. And you say, what? Jesus needed anything? Jesus was God himself. How could Jesus need anything? It says in Luke 3:21, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. As he was praying, heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in a physical experience, in a physical appearance like a dove. Jesus needed the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the power, the anointing, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It then goes on to say, Jesus returned from the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit. He hadn't been beforehand, but he was after. A change came around. And this 30-year-old man, all of a sudden, is plunged into a great ministry that lasts 3.5 years, full of the Holy Spirit. You might say, well, I'm not 30. Or you might say, I've seen 30 a long time ago. But you can be empowered today by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was empowered for the task ahead. The early disciples were empowered for the task ahead. Has the task in any way diminished? Has God turned away from us? No, we have the biblical promise. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's at the end of that section where it talks about asking, seeking, knocking. It's so that you can receive the Holy Spirit, Jesus says. God is so eager to give, and we get all tied up in knots. We struggle. Some of us prefer to hold on to, well, I received the Holy Spirit when I believed. Well, maybe you did. Some of us prefer to hold on to, well, I don't believe that God has given me any gift of tongues. Well, if you want to believe that, that's fine. Some people hold on to, well, I don't believe that I'm called to have prophecy. I'm not that special. It's interesting, isn't it, how Paul says you can all prophesy one by one. They must have all been very special, mustn't they? They must have been so much better than we are. And yet they were all Corinthians, and the word Corinthianize means to have illicit sex. Did you know that? In the dictionary, Corinthianize means to have illicit sex, because that's what Corinthians were known for. You know, the reality is that we are no better and no worse than they were. And the Holy Spirit is still available today. Do we think that for any reason the Trinity have divorced the Holy Spirit? You would think in some churches that the Trinity is now a binary. You would think it's God the Father dancing with Jesus. And in those churches you'll find that the Father always leads. But in the early church, we were always taught about perichoresis, which is the type of dance that the Trinity do, where the Father leads and the Son follows. The Son leads and the Spirit follows. The Spirit leads and the Father follows. The fact is, our Trinity is about shared leadership. It's about acting together as one. And this idea of perichoresis was how the Trinity was explained in the very early days of the church. And that's why we mention it today, because if it worked then, it worked now, it works now. This morning, I just want to encourage you. We're together. Remember in Acts chapter 2, they were all together in one place. We're together. I wonder if the same thing might happen. I wonder, why not? Why not? We should have an expectancy when we are together. When we're together, let's expect the Holy Spirit. And you know, we should have an expectancy that God will want to speak and God will want to reveal. And you know, it's the way God works. Let's expect the supernatural. Let's not expect the normal, the boring. You know, some people say to me, I went to church once, I yawned all the way through. Well, I went to a church like that once, but I only went once. Since then, I've been going to a church where God turns up. And, you know, some mornings I yawn, that's because I was up all night. Or sometimes I yawn because it's too hot. But I don't yawn because I'm bored. Because God is here. God is here. Jesus is walking down this aisle just as real as he walked through the streets of Galilee. You can reach out and touch him. Some years ago, I had had a nasty thing happening. I was up 3-4 nights a week, a gastric issue. My doctor said to me, it's irritable bowel syndrome. And I couldn't get any relief. And I was walking around all day long a bit like a zombie because I just wasn't getting any sleep. And one morning I was in church And I just had that scripture come to my mind about the woman who had been sick for 12 years. I'd been sick for 2.5, 3 years. And I just remembered how she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And you know, I just had a sense that Jesus was in the room. And everyone was praying and worshipping, and I just walked out to the front and I just got down on the floor and I just went like this. And I don't know what people thought. I couldn't have cared what people thought. In fact, I found out afterwards that virtually no one had even noticed me go up and do this. But you know what? I touched the hem of his garment. And it stopped. That day, it stopped. And I hadn't had any treatments. I'd had lots of investigations. I'd had cameras where no one wants cameras. You know, it was unpleasant. But God healed me. Because that day, Jesus was in the front of the church. And I want to encourage you today, expect the supernatural, expect the Holy Spirit. The night I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I had been a Christian for 9 years, 11 months and a week. I was 3 weeks off being a Christian for 10 years. And I went to a church that had a sign outside. It said Pentecostal Church. And I was embarrassed. I thought, how can I be in a Pentecostal church for 10 years and not have had a Pentecostal experience? And I sat there and I got people to pray with me, and I sat there and I said, just leave me alone. Go on, just leave me alone. I'll be fine. And I just prayed and I just said, God, I just want that Acts 2 experience. And God said to me, well, do you know what Acts 2 says? And I said, yeah, it says, and they were all gathered together in one place and blah, 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 blah. And it came to the bit, and it says, and the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in new tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. And for the first time ever, I was reciting this, you know, I wasn't reading it. As I was reciting it, it suddenly hit me, and they began. And it hit me. I have to begin. I had been taught the Holy Spirit will sort of take control of you. And you will begin to speak in other tongues. I'd missed the point totally. In the beginning, they began to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit enabled them, but they began. And so I said, well, God, that's amazing. So look, I'll begin and you enable me. And so I began to speak in tongues. And I was about 2 weeks before I really stopped. For 2 weeks, I could barely speak in English. It was terrible because I was at university. And, you know, people would say to me, Stephen, what do you think about the problem that Professor whatever gave us this week? And I'm going, I don't know. And it was like that all the time for 2 weeks. And then I calmed down a little bit. I sometimes wonder whether it was right that I did. But you know what? We should be expecting the supernatural. Expect to speak in tongues. Remember, you begin, the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets, the Bible says. That means you start and you stop. And of course, one of the hard things we have to learn is to stop. It's very easy sometimes to get going and very difficult to stop. And I encourage you, learn to know when to stop. Be empowered. We all need the Holy Spirit. Not for the fun stuff. Not for the supernatural stuff. But so that we can be empowered as witnesses. God wants you to know when to speak. To use every opportunity. God wants you to say the things that really matter. I remember once, going into an office, I was on duty with another manager in a PC World store, and I just walked into the office with her, and I just said to her, and I don't even, you know, I wasn't even doing anything other than the fact before I'd come on duty, I had prayed for her. But I just walked in and I just said to her, I'm really sorry for what that guy did to you. And she began to cry. And, I mean, this was a woman who, a face was rigid. She never reacted to anything. And I just went on and I said to her, you know, I know he hurt you, but God never wanted to hurt you. And she began to talk to me. She opened up. And it was just the word of knowledge that unlocked that. And, you know, we've got to be ready to say some things. I mean, I didn't know anything about her. I still to this day don't know all the background to what that meant. But it was enough to turn on the waterworks on someone who I never saw before or afterwards. I never saw her cry. This morning we need to be people who are empowered. So I'd like you, if you're able to stand with me, and we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, we're calling on you now to come. Father, we're asking you to send your Spirit. Lord Jesus, we're asking you to send your Spirit. Come now, as at other times. Empower us for the work ahead. Perform those acts amongst us that are supernatural, that are powerful. Do that which brings glory to your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just worship God together, people. Jesus.